Today, I'm speaking to a group of real estate agents at the Keller Williams Real Estate Office in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. Greetings, realtors from Dry Zone, the Delmarva Peninsula's largest installer of crawlspace encapsulation products, basement waterproofing, foundation support products, and products for finishing a basement that will not support mold or mildew and water will not hurt them. My name is Jason Harmon, and I'm here today to tell you that there are solutions to a lot of the issues that you are experiencing when selling and listing real estate. It's not my purpose to make you an expert, but just to make you aware that there are solutions to these issues. I have a little say. I call it fix it before you list it. In a perfect world, it would be great if all sellers would fix all the little problems that are wrong with their properties before they put it on the market for sale. But unfortunately, it's not a perfect world, and that does not usually happen. However, I always encourage people to have a home inspection done of their property immediately upon placing it on the market for sale to determine if there are any issues that need to be addressed. You know, as a real estate agent, you're working on a commission basis. And when you have a willing seller and a willing buyer, that's going to mean a commission for you. And the more that's wrong with the house, the less the selling price and the less your commission's going to be. So you need to wow your potential buyers with a great house. Let me tell you a little bit about our company, Dry Zone. We're located in Harbison, Delaware. We cover the entire Delmarva Peninsula, and we specialize in four areas. We do crawlspace encapsulation, basement waterproofing, foundation support and repair, and basement finishing using products that are made out of inorganic materials that will not support mold or mildew and water will not affect. We like to say that we have a wow service. When we complete a job, we want the customer to be very, very satisfied with us and say, wow, we really didn't expect it to go this well and be this nice. First, concerning our crawlspace encapsulation. We use a product called CleanSpace to encapsulate a crawlspace area. CleanSpace is a 20 mil thick 7-ply vinyl which is reinforced. The crawlspace actually has three areas where moisture comes in, three major areas. Moisture comes in from the ground, it comes in through the wall of the crawl space, and it also comes in through the foundation vents. Now, when a house is built, the building codes require that a ground cover be placed in the crawl space. The building codes will be fulfilled by using a 6 mil polyethylene material to cover the crawl space. However, the seams are not sealed, it doesn't always cover all of the crawl space floor, and it does not go up the wall. And over a period of time with tradesmen going in and out, working on electrical, plumbing, furnace, whatever might be under there, the polyethylene gets all bunched up and it gets pulled away from the walls and exposes the ground, which allows the moisture to come up through the ground. Even though the ground might appear dry, there's still moisture that comes up through that ground. The other thing that happens over a period of time is that polyethylene eventually will become brittle and start to break up and expose more of the ground area. Now, we talked a little bit about the moisture coming through the walls. Whether the walls are block or poured concrete, moisture will still transfer through that. Concrete is porous, allowing moisture to travel through it. Probably the worst problem that we have with crawl spaces is the foundation vent. Now, the foundation vent initially was required to ventilate a crawl space area. It was required by building codes. And the policy was that you open the vent in the springtime and you close the vent in the fall, and this would be protecting your crawl space. However, that is a misconception. The problem is that the air on the outside is warmer and more moist, holding humidity, than the air on the inside of the crawl space. So in the spring and the summer, when that hot, moist air comes through that crawl space vent into the crawl space and hits the air that's cool, it creates condensation, in other words, moisture. And the moisture is what causes the problems in a crawl space. When our inspectors go into a crawl space area, they check the humidity both on the inside and the outside of the crawl space, and they also check for a number of other things, which I'll talk about a little bit later. Now, the crawl space liner that we use, called CleanSpace, is put on the ground. The seams are sealed with a special tape. The piers are wrapped because the piers will also wick water up from the ground, and the crawl space material is carried up the walls of the crawl space to within about 3 inches of the sill plate. Now, the reason that we stop about 3 inches from the sill plate is to give your termite inspector some place to check for termite tunnels. If we carried it all the way up and fastened it to the sill plate, there would be no way for the termite inspector to check to see if there was any termite infestation. One of the things that the inspector will check also is the moisture content of the floor joists and the girder. A floor joist and any wood member under your house should have a moisture content of somewhere between 9 and 14%. In excess of this, the wood products can start to deteriorate. So it's important that the humidity level be kept down in a crawl space in order to protect the wood members of your house. Also, insulation is a factor. In most houses today, the insulation will be fiberglass and is pushed up between the floor joists. If the humidity is too high in the crawl space area, the fiberglass insulation will absorb this moisture, and once the insulation becomes wet, it no longer has any insulation value. In fact, it can get to the point where there's so much moisture in the insulation that it will actually fall out from between the floor joists. Some crawl spaces require a sump pump, but not all crawl spaces require a sump. We have a special sump pump designed just for crawl spaces. It contains a 1/3 horsepower electric pump. It's in a preformed container, a sump, with holes perforated around the edge that allows water under the ground to get into it. It also has a sealed lid which prevents the water that might be in the sump from evaporating into the air in a crawl space. This is what we're trying to eliminate, is the moisture. The lid also has a surface drain, so in case you ever get a pipe break in a crawl space area, there is a way for the water to get into this sump pump. The sump pump also has an alarm. You know, once a crawl space is encapsulated, and even if it's not many people ever go in their crawl space. So how do you know if your sump pump ever fails for any reason, whether it be a circuit breaker or whatever? Okay, the alarm has a probe that sticks down into the sump, and should the pump fail and the water get up to that probe, it sets off an alarm, and I will guarantee you it will wake you up in the middle of the night and let you know that there is a problem before anything drastic happens in the crawl space. Now, we talked about the crawl space fence. We permanently close up these crawl space vents and seal them. And we do this from the inside rather than the outside. We use a product that is a very dense foam material with a reflective backer on it, which is placed into the crawl space vent opening and then sealed around it. Now, once we have installed the crawl space liner and sealed the vents, then it's necessary to install a dehumidifier. We use a very high quality dehumidifier. It's not like one of the cheapies that you go to a big box store and buy for a couple hundred dollars. This one has been designed especially for crawl spaces, and it has two filters on it. One takes out the large particles of dust. The other will take out materials that are down to 2 microns in size, which includes a lot of your items that cause asthma and allergies. So once the crawl space is encapsulated, the dehumidifier has been installed, you have an area underneath your house that is going to protect the upstairs of your house, because science has proven that about 50% of the air that you breathe on the first floor of your house comes from the crawl space. So if we can clean up that air, then we're cleaning up the air that you're breathing in the crawl space area. A house is like a chimney. It's drawing air in at the lower level, passes through the house, and throughout the vents in the upper level into the attic. We run into another problem, and this is one of our products in our foundation support line. It's called a smart jack. Now, the smart jack has been specifically designed to replace the piers that hold up the girder in the crawl space of a house. On the Delmarva Peninsula, we have a very high water table, and this causes problems with piers settling into the ground. There are other causes also. It might be that they were improperly installed in the first place, or that the pad that they're sitting on is too small. Whatever the reason, the smart jack has been designed to replace the piers. The smart jack will support up to 60,000 pounds of vertical load per jack. Now, what happens when the existing pier pushes into the ground? The girder no longer has the proper support necessary. It settles, and this is causing the floor of your house to settle. We have had cases where the floor of the house has actually dropped up to 3 inches away from the wall. Our designers will go into the crawl space. They will check the problems. They will take a lot of pictures. They will come back up into your house, load the pictures on their laptop, and show you exactly what they have found, and they will prepare an estimate and a recommendation as to what it takes to correct the issue of the settling girder, which is supporting your floor joists. In most cases, we can bring the floor joists back up into position. We cannot guarantee that, but we can guarantee that it will not settle any further. Now, how do we install these? Very unique method. Instead of having to pour a concrete pad, we dig a hole which is approximately 24 to 30 inches deep and 24 inches square. It's filled with a number 57 engineered gravel, and as it's filled, it's compacted every 2 inches till we get to near the surface. At that point, a pre-engineered, pre-cast concrete base is put on top of the gravel, and it's in a pyramid shape. It's designed especially to hold the shaft of the Smart Jack. Now here's the neat thing. The Smart Jack shafts come in long lengths, and they're cut on the job for each specific length that is required. It's not like the temporary supports that you go to a big box store and buy that have holes drilled in them that are adjustable. The Smart Jack column is a solid shaft. On the top of that shaft is placed an adjusting screw. It's a very, very heavy threaded screw and a plate that goes underneath your girder. Now, once these are installed and the floor is raised back up, the floor has retained its original integrity, and basically we've restored the value of your house, because who wants to buy a house that has a gap underneath the wall of 3 inches? So the Smart Jack is something that we install a lot of here on the Delmarva Peninsula, mainly because of our type of soil and the problem we have with our high water table. Back to our crawl space for just a moment. We have a product called a Turtle. DryZone is the world's largest installer of the Turtle. Now, what is the Turtle? The Turtle is an entrance system for crawl spaces. It is a preformed unit that it replaces the existing crawl space door. The existing door, whether it be metal or wood, is taken out completely. The Turtle is installed and sealed to the house. It has a waterproof lid, and it creates an area for easy access to your crawl space. A very unique product, and it's something that everyone who has a crawl space should consider installing. I'd like to talk a little bit now about our basement waterproofing products. There are not a lot of basements on the lower part of the Delmarva Peninsula, but there are some. But as we go farther north on the peninsula, we run into a lot of basements. And basements usually have a problem with moisture and water. And we have a system for waterproofing a basement, which is guaranteed. And not many places that install basement waterproofing will actually guarantee their system. Recently, we had an individual who had purchased his house about 15 years ago, and it was brand new when he purchased it. It was on a nice large country lot of 5 acres in size. And he retired one December. And his first project after retirement was going to be to finish off his basement. Well, he had never had a drop of water in his basement. Fortunately, he only got one partition put up when he had a water intrusion problem. The water actually flooded his basement. He called DryZone, and DryZone went out and did an inspection, and our inspectors are also designers, and they designed a waterproofing system that took care of his problem, and he was able to go ahead and finish his basement off. In fact, he used our products that were made specifically for basements when he did it, and he has a beautiful basement now. His basement had a trench around the perimeter, and most people call this a French drain, and it was installed when the floor of the basement was poured by putting a piece of styrofoam against the block wall and then pouring the concrete floor to that styrofoam. Once the floor had set, the styrofoam was removed, creating the channel. Now the theory was that any water coming in would get in this channel and go around to the sump pump. Well, he did have a sump pump. It was a vertical sump pump. Nothing really great about them particularly, but problem was his sump pump had been installed in a pit that was not proper. The sump had been created by using a chimney flue liner, which is not all that big and doesn't hold all that much water. Well, when he had the water intrusion problem, the trench was not able to take care of the volume of water coming in, and the pump was not able to take care of the volume of water that needed to be pumped out of the basement. So what do we do at DryZone? On a standard basement floor, we cut the floor back from the wall approximately 8 to 10 inches all the way down to the top of the footer. We install a product called WaterGuard which is set in a bed of gravel. The water guard is a molded plastic piece that is designed to collect water below the floor level. Now, the neat thing about that is it also has a spacer on the back of it, which holds it away from the wall approximately 3/8 of an inch. And the purpose of this is that if you have a water intrusion higher up the wall, it allows the water to run down the wall and get behind this water guard and into the water guard itself and be pumped out. Now, once the water guard has been installed, it's carried around to a sump pump area and duct it into the sump pump, and then we pour the concrete floor back over top of the water guard so that when we're all done, the only thing you see is about 3/8 of an inch of plastic sticking up above the floor. Now, in some cases, we run into a situation where there are cracks in the floor and the water is actually gushing up through the cracks, and we have a solution for that also. We have a product called HydroLink. HydroLink is a PVC pipe and has very fine slots cut into it, very much like a well screen, if you're familiar with a well screen. We put a microfiber sock over top of the PVC pipe, and this prevents the fine particles of sand from getting into it. Now, the HydroLink is tied into the perimeter system and again is ducted around to the sump pump area. Now, the sump pumps that we use are very unique. I discussed the one that we used in a crawl space, which was a single pump. Now, that pump can also have a battery backup pump installed in it also, in case the electric goes out, and if you have a problem with water in a crawl space or a basement and the pump can't work, the electric pump can't work, then the battery backup pump kicks in, and our battery backup pump will pump up to 11,000 gallons of water on one battery charge. Now, that's number one pump we have, sump pump. The next one we have is by placing two sump pumps in the same sump, and one the electric, the other a battery backup, and then we have what I call the Rolls Royce of the sump pumps, and that is called a triple safe. The triple safe actually has three pumps in it. The sump container itself is elongated rather than being perfectly round. It has a 1/3 horsepower sump pump set at the lowest level. About 2 inches higher than that is a 1/2 horsepower sump pump. Now, should the first sump pump not be capable of pumping all the water that's coming in, the second pump kicks in. Now, what happens here if the electric goes out? We've also installed a battery backup pump as the third pump. So if the battery backup pump kicks in, it'll pump us up to the 11,000 gallons on one battery charge. The battery is hooked up to your electrical system so that it's kept charged at all times. The nice feature about this system is that each of our electric sump pumps has its own separate discharge line until we get through the wall of the house to the outside, and then we install a product called an ice guard. Pipe is turned down to the ground, converted to a 4-inch pipe, goes underground to a discharge point at some point out in the yard itself. So we have the products to take care of removing the water as well as taking care of collecting the water. Back to our dehumidifiers. Basements also are damp, so we need to control the humidity in a basement also. A lot of people open their basement windows, but you know, there again, you're letting that hot, moist air from outside into that cooler basement, and you're creating a higher humidity situation. So we have a couple different kinds of dehumidifiers that can be used in a basement, and we have one that is very unique, the way it's designed. It's a dehumidifier that can be ducted, so it can be placed in a furnace room, a storage room, a closet, wherever, and ducted into the finished area of your basement so that it's not observable, you don't see it, and you don't hear it running. And it's a very, very unique product. I want to talk a little bit now about our basement finishing products. We have a system called Total Basement Finishing, and they are products that are designed specifically for basements. They're made out of inorganic materials, and inorganic materials will not support mold, mildew, and water will not hurt them. Now, while I'm talking about mold here, let's do a little bit of study on that. Mold requires three things to grow, whether it be in a crawl space or a basement. It requires a mold spore, and they're in the air every place. It requires moisture, and it requires an organic surface to grow on. Now, an organic surface is something that at one time has been alive. Wood, paper, plywood, cardboard, leather, whatever. As long as it was at one time alive, mold can grow on it. With our total basement finishing products being made out of totally inorganic material, we do not have a problem with mold. Now, here is something that you're going to find very, very interesting. I've been talking about warranties all along. Our wall paneling system carries a 50-year warranty. Our ceiling tiles, which are made out of a mineral fiber rather than a wood fiber, carry a 30-year warranty. And our floor materials, which we have several different designs of, carry a 10-year warranty. Here is the unique factor. These warranties are transferable to a new owner. So whether it be our crawl space work, or our basement finishing work, or even our foundation support work, these warranties are all transferable to a new owner, which is a big selling feature if you ever go to sell your house. All the new buyer has to do is contact our office and have the name changed on the account. That's very brief concerning the basement finishing materials, but here is something that you might not be aware of. If you're finishing off a basement, whether it be new construction or existing construction, the building codes require that you have an egress directly to the outside. And if there's a bedroom in this finished area of the basement, the egress has to be from that bedroom. And we have a product which will meet these requirements. And it's an egress system that is made up of a unit that is dug into the ground. It's a one-piece molded fiberglass made to look like stone, has a built-in step into it, and then we cut a hole in the basement wall and install the proper size window according to code. There's a plastic cover that goes over the egress area, keeping water and debris out of it, and it meets the codes required by your building codes in either your city or your county. This is one of the products in our line that is becoming more and more important as people finish off basements, and even on new construction are finishing the basements when they're built. The wall paneling system we have for finishing the basement is unique in that the material that is made for the exterior walls has a very thick foam backing on it, and it does not require a stud system in order to install it. It has a strap system that fastens it to the wall and a channel at the top and the bottom that it sits in. The interior materials for the walls are the same, but without the foam backing on them, because you don't need the foam backing on an interior wall for insulation purposes. The panelings also have moldings that are made to match the panelings, inside corner and outside corners. And we also have a line of moldings that are made out of an organic material for window trim, door trim, crown moldings, and baseboard moldings. And these moldings can be color coordinated to the paneling. Talk a little bit now about our foundations products. And most of these you might not be familiar with, you might not ever have heard of them, but they are there. And Dry Zone is, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the only foundation support company on the Delmarva Peninsula. All of our competitors seem to be coming from the Western Shore and from Pennsylvania and New Jersey, but we're local and we stand behind all of our work. The first thing I want to talk about is the push pier. Now, the push pier is a heavy, round, or it can be square, rod that is pushed into the ground. The weight of the structure is used as resistance in order to push this into the ground. There is a bracket that goes on the top of it that goes underneath the footing, and as we push it into the ground, we're looking to achieve a certain resistance, which is going to tell us that we have reached stable soil. Now, once these push piers are pushed down until we reach the stable soil, a hydraulic jack is installed on the top of each one of them, and these jacks are hooked up with hydraulic hoses to a central control panel. And once they're all hooked up, lift starts. Now, we cannot guarantee in all cases lift, but we can guarantee that structure will not settle any further. However, in a lot of cases, we can achieve lift. Now, once brackets have been brought to the point where the installers are satisfied, then they're locked into place, hoses connecting them to the hydraulic unit, and the jacks themselves are removed, and it's backfilled around the property, and you don't even know that they're there. The next item is the helical pier. Now, helical pier is similar to a push pier, but it has plates that are welded to the shaft, and instead of being pushed into the ground, they're basically drilled into the ground with an excavator type piece of equipment that has a hydraulic drive head on it. And we excavate down to the footing, and there's a bracket that will go on the top of these eventually, but they're screwed down into the ground. And here again, we're looking for a certain resistance. Now, these helical plates are designed so that each successive plate will turn into the same slot that the previous plate turned into, which means that there's no spoil coming up to the surface. In other words, when you drill a hole in a piece of wood, you get a lot of sawdust that comes up. Well, you would think when you drill something into the ground, you would get dirt coming up. But these helical plates have been designed so that that does not happen. This gives us the maximum support of these units. And there can be multiple plates on a shaft. They start at 6 inches in diameter and go up to 14 inches in diameter, depending on what the individual job calls for. Now, once these have been drilled into the ground, there's a bracket that's put on the top, which goes underneath the footing, locked in place. And here again, we put a hydraulic jack on the top of each one, hook them up with hydraulic hoses to the central control unit, and then we can start our lift. To give you an idea of some of the things that are happening, we had one house where the front part was built on virgin soil, which had not been disturbed. However, the filled part of the lot had not been properly compacted, and the back of the lot had a very steep slope to it, and there was no retaining wall that had been put in, so basically the ground was sliding down the hill. It got to the point where the owner of this house could not open his doors or windows across the back of the house. So we went in with our helical pier system, and we put helical piers in, and we did a lift in this case. And the gentleman happened to be in the house. We require that the owner be there if we're trying to do a lift. We had him in the house with a walkie-talkie and said, hey, when you're satisfied, you let us know. The lift is done very, very slowly. Well, after a while, he called, stop, stop, I can open my doors. Well, at that point, we had brought the house back up, and he was able to open his doors and his windows. We locked the brackets in place, removed the jacks and the hoses, backfilled the house around the house. Nobody knows that the jacks are there. It had restored the value of that house. Some products that we have available for basement walls that are bowing in. And this is a common problem. There are a number of different ways that this problem can be addressed. There can be a carbon fiber strap put on, which will basically stop the wall from moving anymore, but you know, it's strictly what I call a band-aid fix. There are I-beams that can be installed against the wall. They're fastened to the concrete floor. And then the top of them are fastened to the floor joists. Now, the problem that I see with this is the floor joists were not designed to take that kind of pressure. So should the wall continue to want to push in and put more pressure on those I-beams, then it could affect the structural integrity of the floor joists. There's also a helical system that we can use. However, in order to do that, we need to make a hole in the wall that's of 12 to 18 inches in diameter. And, you know, once you put a hole in the wall that big, it's very, very difficult to seal it and make it watertight. And there can also be what's called an earth anchor used. But what I really prefer is a product called a GeoLock wall anchor. Very, very unique product. The way we install that is to go approximately 12 feet or more away from the house, which puts us into what we call, again, virgin soil. In other words, soil that was not disturbed when the hole for the basement was built. We have a piece of equipment with a large auger on it. We auger a hole down, and we drop in a ground plate into this hole. On the inside of the basement, and it's usually approximately eye level, we drill a 1.5-inch hole, and through that hole, we drive a threaded rod out through the soil into this ground plate, and there's a big washer and nut put on this ground plate, and then on the inside there is another plate installed over the threaded rod, and a big washer and nut is put on that. Then we use a torque wrench to tighten things down. The torque wrench basically is going to take the play out of what has been installed, but it's also going to stabilize that wall and keep it from moving any further. Now, the first time we want to torque that to about 40 psi. In the future, there's a possibility that we can come back and torque it even more and actually pull the wall back into position. However, in this particular case, we need certain conditions to apply. If the ground is sandy, we need it to be very wet in nature, because sand gets sort of slushy when it gets wet, so it doesn't affect pulling the wall back into position. If the ground is clay, we need the ground to be very dry because clay shrinks when it dries, and it gives us the ability to pull that wall back a little bit. Now, these geolock wall anchors can be installed without a lot of disturbance to your property. Because we're pushing a threaded rod through the soil, we don't have to worry about removing sidewalks or steps or interfering with shrubbery or anything like that, because basically we're going underneath those items to get the job done. Again, it restores the value of the property. Someone said one time in one of my seminars, doesn't this throw up a red flag to a buyer? My response was, yes, it's going to throw up a red flag to a buyer. However, it's going to say that the owner realized that he had an issue, he addressed the issue, and he had the issue corrected. And the issue is guaranteed, and the guarantee is transferable to a new owner. So actually, it's a good thing when you explain it that way. We also run into situations in basements called shear. And this is where part of the wall is actually staying in place, but another section of the wall is actually moving. And this is called shearing. There are a lot of things for you to look for in basements. Probably most common things for you to look for would be cracking in the blocks if it's a block foundation. You'll see stair-step cracking, horizontal cracking, sometimes vertical cracking too. And these are all indications that there might be a foundation issue. And as I said earlier, our inspectors are also designers, and they will check and they will give you a price on the spot of correcting any problem that you have. We had one house, and it was very, very unusual, which we thought at the time, but we found now that it's not such an unusual thing. One end of the house had dropped 3 inches. In other words, it had a full basement, and the footing and half of the basement wall had dropped 3 inches, approximately eye level around the one end of the basement. There was a 3-inch gap in the wall where it had settled. Well, this was caused actually by a water problem. Water was coming in underneath the foundation, washing sand out, and allowing the foundation to settle. The first job we had to do, of course, was to put in our waterproofing system, and then we put in our push pier systems. Push piers can be installed on the inside, if there's a basement, as well as on the outside. Well, to make a long story short, we put in our push piers, we put the hydraulic jacks on them, we were able to bring that wall back up into position, lock the heads in place, and restored the value of the house and actually kept it from having severe structural damage. So there are a lot of things that can be done where you have foundation issues. Once we were finished, the owner was very happy. He now had a restored house. Are there any questions on anything that I have gone over so far? Yes. Okay, the question was, what's it cost to do a crawl space, to encapsulate a crawl space? Well, I don't want to give you a short or a smart answer, but that's almost impossible to say. There are so many variables that go into play when we're giving you a price on a crawl space that we can't come up with just a standard square foot price. Now, some of the variables are, number one, how large is the crawl space? Number two, how high are the crawl space walls? How many piers are there? Because we wrap the piers also. Is there a water issue as well as just a dampness issue, which might require perimeter drainage? Is it necessary to put drainage matting in? Is there a pump necessary? Because not all crawl spaces require a sump pump. So as you can see, there are a lot of variables that go into play in determining the price on a crawl space. And we design a crawl space encapsulation system specifically for each individual. We don't try to sell you something that you really don't need. Are there any other questions? Okay, the question was, how long does it take to install the smart jacks? Actually, that's a really good question. And the answer to that is they install very quickly. And of course, the number that are required is going to determine the length of time, but in a lot of cases, we can do this in one day's time, versus a method of going in and replacing the existing piers, where you would have to go in first, dig a hole and pour a footing, then the footing has to be allowed to cure, then you have to come back and you have to put the blocks on, then you have to allow the mortar and the blocks to cure, then you have to come back, and since the blocks probably won't meet the floor joist exactly, you have to put shims in. So we eliminate all that with our smart jack system. We can put those smart jacks in very, very quickly, and there is not any real mess involved in it at all. It will restore the value of a house very quickly. Are there any other questions? If not, I would like to leave you some information on the products that we sell. As I said when I started, I wasn't intending to make you an expert today, but just to make you aware that there are issues, I'm sorry, that there are solutions to the issues that you're running into when you're selling real estate. Thank you for your attention.